Happy Father's Day. Yes, to all of our fathers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. And we, some of you have got daddies in heaven. I think if you ask Jesus, he'd probably get word to them. Hallelujah. And that's all right. You can ask Jesus. You can't talk to the saints, like to pray to them, those kinds of things. But you could probably ask Jesus. And make sure that it got passed over there. Glory to God. I want to say how much I love my dad and my other dad, granddaddy. These two guys, the three of us were like, and have always been like the three amigos. And we've hunted all over South Texas. We put our toes in the Rio Grande together. And we've been all over the United States and hunting together and down here in the sawgrass and alligator country and just enjoyed life. And my brother-in-law, Gerald, and his boys, we just, it's the way it is. And appreciate, this morning when Granddaddy called for prayer, he was breathing hard. And he said, "Son, don't think I'm going to make it, but listen, Kelly's coming and Wayne will be coming. So, but I wanted to tell you, I couldn't make it." And, he knew I was going to pray for him, but before I could pray for him, he's like, "Don't think I'm going to make it this morning, but I'll see you." And but he didn't finish. He goes, he said, "By the way, I want to tell you, we went to the lease yesterday and we hunted that lease out." And he said, we couldn't find any hogs anywhere. And then I prayed for him. And Candy said, "My God, the day he goes, his last breath, he'll be saying, 'Well, boys, I think we can go over there and find some hogs over there, or deer over here,' or something like that." That's the way to go. Hallelujah. So we honor our fathers. "Well, Pastor, I didn't have that kind of..." No, listen. He said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And there was an attachment to that. There was a clause to it. It was a footnote, rather. It had something to do with your own longevity, that your days may be long on the earth. He was a sorry cuss, Pastor. He beat Mama, and he did this and did that, and I wanted to kill him half my life. Listen, you're walking now in a place you've never walked. It's called the true form of agape. It has the capacity to step over lines of the flesh. You can go past memory. It has the capacity to go past abuses. If you develop it, if you allow it through presence and allow Him through presence and Word to develop in you, you can step over into that place in a reality where He said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Hallelujah. Wasn't that a wonderful testimony that Frank gave that day? The physical abuse. God, you could understand why he wanted to kill, the physical abuse as a child. But he got a chance to hold his granddaddy in the end, tell him he loved him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So a lot of your way past, you can call, and if there's any differences or anything, you don't have to bring those up except just to say, you can squeak it out. In fact, you can roll it out of a pure heart and say, "I love you." And if there's, you don't even have to have a response. You're big enough that you don't have to have a response. Because he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Hallelujah. It's great when it's reciprocated. Oh man, it feels good when they'll hold you and they'll say, "I love you too, son." That's wonderful. But he's provided something in the Lamb that you can say, "I love you," when it's even, when it's non-reciprocated. Hallelujah. You get to be the one, really, that'll help birth them in the kingdom by your love. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. 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 Whew. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. Glory to God. Isn't His presence awesome this morning? Enter into this time of the Word just for a few moments. Father, I love you. And I praise you for everybody that's here. I thank you for their support in the Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for the gifts that have just come into your house to continue to supply the ongoing need for revival. Father, I thank you for every man and woman, young man and young lady that's here this morning. The sound of my voice, it is our heartbeat and our cry that the Lord would come in the full manifestation of Jesus Christ. Everything that He is to us, in us, and through us. For this last day outpouring. Holy Spirit, acknowledge you as God. Acknowledge you as the one that's been sent from above to lead and guide us into all truth, and your word is truth. So right now, according to that, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll multiply your grace through the face of Jesus Christ, through all of His sayings and all of His word, and we receive it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, if you would, if you have a Bible, you should carry it to church. You say, well, I don't read it during the week. Well, bring it here. We'll read it together here. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. And Isaiah 28. You'll find those two places. Some of you are going to be and already called as teachers. A teacher always has his manual and his books in front of him at church. So I forgot mine today. That's okay. Just lean over to somebody's got one and make sure. They say, listen, the only reason why they don't, if they don't have one, it's because they've memorized the whole thing. Don't judge anybody. We're in a non-judgmental kind of place. They've memorized it. He's got it on CD. My God. Leave it to my brother-in-law. My God. I ain't even going to go there. If I opened up these boys over here, they'd tell you something too, but I'm not going to go there either. So Acts chapter 2, are you there? All right. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, this particular phenomenon that just took place, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, verse 16. This is Peter stepping up. And this is what he says about what just happened that we just read. But this is that. Would you all say, this is that? This is that. Good. Is there an echo in here? Yes, a good one. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now let's just stop for a second. We've been ministering over this for the last few weeks. If you go to Joel, you'll read a prophecy. But in that prophecy, it doesn't say anything about tongues. It doesn't really say that you'll speak with other tongues. It does talk about dreaming dreams, seeing visions, prophesying. But it doesn't say anything necessarily about speaking in tongues. But Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and identifies by the Holy Ghost and says, "This is that. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost today that what Joel prophesied," and we get to read what Joel prophesied, and Peter quotes it almost verbatim. He just adds a couple things to it. But the Holy Spirit canonized it, according to Luke, and let us know that what Peter was identifying was exactly right. He was on target. He was on target. Now, Peter was not ignorant, although the Pharisee says, how these unlearned and ignorant men speaking to us. We took notice that they've been with Jesus. They were speaking from a doctorate position. They were speaking from a high... Every Hebrew boy, beginning around the age 3, began to be sent to school on a daily basis. And for hours, hours upon hours upon hours, sorry girls, you could not go, ladies. Hour after hour, their number one objective was to memorize the Torah. And I found this out also. This was interesting. They not only were to memorize it from 3 to 13, as that's usually when they pretty much graduated. Now, Paul went on to higher education. Paul was in Saul of Tarsus. He was in Tarsus, raised up in Tarsus. He graduated probably with that kind of robe that they wouldn't let me wear at the graduation. I was just glad to have one of them robes. He was way up in his class and sat at the feet in Jerusalem of the greatest mind of his day, Gamaliel. The greatest mind, the greatest doctor of his day, and went on to higher education in the law and received what would be equal to probably a number of doctorates. That's how ingrained the law was in Paul. He was a tremendous, he was one of those guys that could get in, and that's why God used him so much to refute the mentality that we have to stay under the law. But Peter and all these guys from 3 to 13 went daily at the synagogue and would learn and be taught to memorize. Now you can take a 3-year-old, and if you take a 3-year-old and go forward with it, because what is that? Oh, is it tabula rasa, something like that? Your clean slate, your mind is where you can just absorb anything. These guys almost learned the entire Old Testament. They were mandated to memorize great portions of the Psalm. But here's what the great part was. They had to print in perfect penmanship, not shorthand, perfect penmanship. They had to write before their rabbi in those years the Torah, the Old Testament, the Psalms, and they got to take those scrolls, their copies, they got to take those scrolls home with them. Isn't that neat? So they got a copy of the Bible as it was. If they had a boy to enroll in school, they got a copy of the Bible at home. Isn't that awesome? That's the mind of God, isn't it? See, I wasn't quite correct. I thought that it was only in the synagogues. I found out recently that was incorrect. I found out every Hebrew boy was mandated from 3 to 13 to memorize it, scroll it. If he printed it correctly, he got to take it home with him. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Peter stands up because he doesn't get this out of the Holy Ghost. He had memorized this, and he speaks and he says, and he quotes Joel, and he does an excellent job. But this is what he adds. He says, "This is that. What you just witnessed." Well, what did we witness? We haven't seen the prophesying as of yet. We haven't seen the dreaming of dreams, the young men and the maidens, but the initiation, the birthing of the first church, and is this church. He said, what you've just witnessed with the praying in other tongues is that. It's the initiation process. It's the beginning of all that which is about to explode. In other words, the games have begun. Let them begin. There's a new day. It's a new day. If anybody ever asks you, what scripture are you standing on that you can have a revival? Oh, every scripture in the New Testament. Up till the change of this dispensation, which seems to be in the book of Revelation. So everything that is listed from that pouring out is a manual on the doctrine of revival and everything that we'll receive thereof. Hallelujah. Peter stands up and he quotes this, which we'll read, and he says this. It shall come to pass, verse 17, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy. Now listen, he quotes this, but he quotes it according to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit canonizes and says, Peter was right. He said, this is that, even though there's not a mention of tongues. But Peter says, this is that. This is that. And Peter also adds this. He adds this from that scripture in Joel, if you'll look it up. But we won't go there because I already have. It shall come to pass in the last days. Peter said, in essence, this is that has come. And he says, it has come according to this. This is that has come according to in the last days I will pour out of my spirit. He was identifying and saying that last day prophecy or everything contained in it, that dispensation has begun right now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What does that tell me? By the end of this prophecy, he says this. He says in the last days, this will happen. And before all these things will happen, before that great and notable day of the Lord. Well, in that great and notable day of the Lord, certain things start happening, which are lined up with the book of Revelation, which is a new dispensation. The moon turned to blood. The sun darkened. Those things have not yet happened. So it's easy for us to understand one thing, that what was pronounced and what has been said, this has begun, and the catalyst by which it began in, and Peter identifying and saying, this is that, praying in tongues has initiated all the fulfillment and the beginning of this fulfillment. And this is the last day movement. We can understand this. We are in that dispensation called the last days. We get everything coined in it. Everything contained in it. Everything a part of it. But one of the things that we have to appreciate the most is its initiation. What Peter says, it's birthing. I said the other day, I said this was the birth announcement of all the prophecies in the Old Testament. The baby announcement was, it's a boy, congratulations, Mr. Smith. The birth announcement was, this is that. The prophecy of Joel in the last days. You all get to prophesy. You all get to dream. Well, let's see. Let's distinguish this about dreaming dreams. It says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men, that's me, shall see visions, and people like Kelly, the old men will dream dreams. Isn't that something? But we all get to, man. Glory to God. We all get to move. We're all in this. So I will show signs in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day. And it shall come to pass. Here's the one we love. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, Peter, you've added something to this. You've let us know that this is a last day dispensation. You also identified the very fact that Joel didn't say anything about tongues, but Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, for you shall be endued with power. And when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. They're all speaking in tongues and he steps up. This spirit of truth has just told me this. This is that which Joel prophesied. It has begun. This is the last day movement. Hallelujah. This is the last day outpouring. And you can expect this to continue on in the church until the moon turns to blood and the sun is darkened. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm in that dispensation. I'm in that dispensation. What birthed it? What was the catalyst? What was the fire starter? What was the kindling? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. We love this. Now, there is an Old Testament application here, but this is a major New Testament prophecy. Because if you understand anything about old and new, the old is a shadow. Jesus said it was a shadow. He taught us it was a shadow. So there had to be things currently going on that shadowed or typified what would go on in the future. So you say, well, no, this is a present tense. No, Jesus taught us, the apostles taught us, that the Old Testament was a shadow. It was a teacher of things to come. And here's a tremendous teacher of things to come. Look at this in chapter 28. He asked a tremendous question. This is a question that only you and I can answer today according to the responsibility we have in moving in with the Spirit. He says, whom? He asks this question, whom shall he teach knowledge? Well, I'm talking about the right kind of knowledge, the kind that comes from God. Whom shall he to make understand doctrine? Doctrine is simple truth. Truth according to the mind of Christ. His scriptures are doctrine. The Word of God said to Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, he said that all scripture is given for the sake of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Now watch this. This is amazing. God asked this question to you as a church, to me as a church, to individuals, church worldwide, and all those entering into the kingdom of God. Who shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Meaning, if you're going to learn and to go from a baby stage to an adulthood stage, there has to come a process. Everybody's born a baby, naturally and spiritually. So there's no condemnation on being on milk. There's no condemnation on that. You have to, both physically and spiritually. But he says for this to continue the process and for you to go to a place where the knowledge of God is imparted to you and the doctrine of God, which is sound truth, is continually imparted to you, there must come a process in your life by which God cuts you off of the milk. You're weaned from the milk, weaned from the breast, drawn from the bottle, and that God begins to entrust you with the wisdom of heaven. Now, Paul said this in Corinthians. He said, no other foundation can a man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The bedrock is Jesus Christ. So, you say, well, I know Jesus, and that's milk. No, my God, you're standing on the foundation. You are standing on the rock of ages. Hallelujah. That's it. He is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you can continue to nurture, chew, savor, if you can allow the revelation of who He is in you and all of His teachings, Christ's doctrine. You say, what is doctrine? It's Christ's teaching. Paul, all of his teachings, Christ's teachings are not a commentary on Paul or Peter or John. Their teachings are commentaries on the rock, Jesus Christ. If any man build his house upon this rock, my sayings. Paul built his house upon the sayings of Jesus Christ. So he asks this question. He says, the prophet says, who shall he teach knowledge? Who shall he make to know understanding? Sound doctrine. That's what he said, to know sound doctrine, basically. Or that's what it says verbatim here, to understand doctrine. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept. Now, watch how he teaches. Now, watch how the Holy Spirit teaches you. And it's in the natural, too. Because you understand something in the natural and you understand something in the spirit. For precept must be upon precept. Now, watch how he reiterates this. Watch how important it is for him to get this across to you. Precept must be upon precept. And he repeats it. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Okay. Okay, God, you want me to grow up. I understand that. You're not rebuking me. I've been born again, yes. Okay? That bedrock is Jesus Christ. Amen. At some point, I'm on milk. I just know that Jesus loves me, and that's that's fine for me today. But he says, okay, I want you to come up to a higher place. I want to trust you with knowledge. I want to trust you with doctrine. Okay, wonderful. What you're going to have to do, son, what you're going to have to do, daughter, is you're going to have to get off of milk and get on some meat. Wonderful. Do you leave me in that condition, Father? Do you just tell me, get off the milk and get on the meat and walk away and leave me in a sterile position where I'm thinking, okay, I got to do this. I know I got to grow up, and I know at some point I've got to pull the bottle out and I've got to go on to bigger and better things in Christ as far as Him being the bedrock and everything, every edifice being built on Him. All the walls, the ceilings, the floor, the whole structure has got to be built on Jesus Christ. Okay, you told me to get off the milk and get on the meat. I'll do that. Well, how do I do that? And this is what he says. Every doctrine that's presented to you, every teaching, everything you learn about me will be on this manner. When a baby is being taught, the very thing that we begin to teach our children. You know, they can't talk. It's amazing to me as human beings how we do things, but nevertheless, I guess it's in the phonics area because we think they can't really articulate things. And so they can't speak real good anyway, and then we're not speaking real good to them. Can you say, dad, dad? Dad, dad. Now, if they said, dad, dad, you know, if they don't progress, you're not teaching them very well. But the very first precept or line on line that you're beginning to teach them is mama. Can you say mama? They can't get it right. You know, maybe they'd get it closer to being right if we just said, can you say mama or daddy? I don't know. But nevertheless, it's line on line. When they start school, this is how God works with human beings, because this is the nature of who you are. This is how you are as a spirit person. This is how the Holy Spirit treats you. You go in and they begin to teach you line on line, precept on precept. Here a little and there a little. That's why they don't go from grade 1 to grade 12. They go from pre-K, whatever they are now, kindergarten, first grade, all that preface. Now, can you get this? What your mama and daddy used to say, mama, I'm going to tell you how they put that together. Okay, here is a thing called an alphabet. Can you say this? A, B, C, D. And they teach them this whole string of letters. And it takes them 2 or 3 years. Once they teach them the order of those letters, then they begin to teach them that they can take those letters out of the sequence by which they taught them and put and arrange them and create the very words that they've been saying. They can write them down on paper. They teach them 10 digits that is the basis of all of their yesterday at 11 something. I was standing outside going to feed my dog or let him out of the pen. God, I thought we were attacked. So, oh my God. It was double. It's like, oh my God. I was like, man, they're setting off some, I knew it was dynamite or something. It was a break in the sound barrier. When that thing come back in, it broke the sound barrier and the ground literally shook. It literally shook. There was hundreds of fine minds that put that thing up there and brought it back with all those astronauts in it. How did they get there? How did they get to a place where they could go into outer space? How does a brain surgeon get to a place where he can open up your scalp, your cranial area, go in there to remove something that's not supposed to be there and know that just to the right or the left, one hair wrong move is going to incapacitate you for the rest of your life. And he can so orchestrate it, he can go in there. Why? Because line upon line, the basis by which every individual begin to learn. If you took, while that man's in operation, while that astronaut's in space, what's more important? If he graduates from Massachusetts's Institute of Technology, and he's got some kind of Einstein brain, and he's the top of his class, and he can shoot people in outer space, and he's got all of this powerful knowledge, and his brain is full of figures. At one time, the basis of it was all 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those 10 digits built inside of him the capacity at preschool, line upon line, K, first grade. It was built in him. If you go to him in the operation, or in space and say, look, I'm going to leave everything in you that you got at MIT or at some graduate school. I'm going to leave all that in you, but I'm just going to take out from your brain those 26 letters. I'm just going to take out those 10 digits. He becomes an idiot. He becomes an idiot. He can't function anymore. He can't figure anymore. He can't walk across the street with any calculation, say, go over there 50 yards, turn this way. You can't deliver anybody out of space. You can't even communicate. He says, line upon line. Oh, this is amazing. This is how earthly things take place. How do spiritual things take place? The Holy Spirit begins to build in you revelation knowledge, doctrine, line on line, truth after truth. Why so? Because as you have a born-again nature and you're filled with the Spirit, and we're going to see the catalyst here in just a moment, as you're filled with the Spirit, once you receive it and are able to assimilate it like a first grader, it becomes the bedrock of your understanding. You're able to sit on it, be integrated, and the Holy Spirit says, that's truth. And you say, okay, that's truth. I understand it. That's correct. Listen. And by the way, if any man ever tells you, myself included, I just opened up this book of the Word. I haven't read it much. I just went through one chapter and the whole thing was downloaded to me just like that. I just understood it all in a moment's time. It's out of the operation of God. Because it must be line on line, precept on precept, for you to trust your revelation. For me to trust it, for you to trust me, it has to be here a little and there a little. It has to be as a child walking with the understanding of God being imputed in their spirit. And as the Holy Spirit builds line on line like He does and takes those 10 digits and goes on to go into quantum physics and to put people into space and outer space and designs a nuclear power plant like this guy works at, and everything is based on. But what's it most important is graduate school understanding? Or what he began to understand from the very beginning. That was the catalyst, that was the foundation by which all knowledge became truth. Glory to God. Well, tell me, you've told me, Holy Spirit, get off the bottle. Okay, I can believe that. But tell me something else, Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to teach this to you. So that in the last day outpouring, you're going to be walking in a place where I can use you to the utmost. Here's how it's going to come. Listen, you'll find out in this that there wasn't nothing in here like a computer port, like you could download something. That you cannot get a grace line to, I love grace lines. You know how much I preach on them. But there's some things a grace line will not replace. It can't replace fellowship. You say, well, fellowship is what? It's worship. It's spending time with Him. You can't get somebody to pray for you and download in you the kinds of rapport and benefit that comes by only the hours spent by you telling another person, I love you, I worship you, I want to get to know you. Because getting to know somebody is partly spent in the time that it takes to transfer those kinds of things where He transfers His love to you and your love to Him. And no grace line will ever replace that. Neither can a grace line impute the kind of knowledge that he's talking about. Well, I just went up there and, oh God, I see everything. Doctrine is just so full of. No, you can't. Why? Because it cannot be put in you like a port where you just put everything. You're not going to understand this for a while, but then all of a sudden, boom. No. If you're going to understand it, it's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. You're going to know A, and then you're going to know B, and then C, and then I'm going to pull C, and then go back to A, and then I got a T way down here, and I got a CAD. Wow, that's cool. Now I can take 0, and I can take, put the 1 over here, and I got 10, and now I begin this process by which eventually in my 40s, in my 50s, I can send a man out there and I can bring him back by calculation. Well, Holy Spirit, okay, I'm weaned off. I promise you, if you'll just teach me, and I like your teaching process. You're not just going to push this on me. You're just going to download it line after line, or you're going to teach it to me down line after line. Holy Spirit, how do I begin? Oh, I'm glad you ask. I'm glad you ask. Here's the school. Come into the schoolroom. You've decided not to be a child the rest of your life. Yes. I promise I won't force nothing on you. You'll be totally convinced at the end that what you're walking in is my soundness of doctrine. How do you do it, Holy Spirit? How do you do it? He says this, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people." Hallelujah. To whom he said, this sounds like Joel, "This is the rest." Glory to God. I think Isaiah and Joel must have known each other, although they were in two different eras of time. "This is the rest." I can identify. He's saying, this stammering lips and other tongues, it's the catalyst to give you line upon line, precept upon precept. It is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Israel went on to reject that present day prophecy. And he said, you rejected it, but to the New Testament church, it was what Joel said. This is that. This is that. Glory be to God. Stammering lips and another tongue. He brings me in and I have a teacher who is called the Holy Ghost. The more I pray in tongues, the more he steps up as the teacher of my born again spirit. I received the capacity at the new birth to learn anything that's in that word. It just wasn't all downloaded in there. Now, line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay, I got you, Holy Spirit. I got you. You're going to teach me real slow. Get it over to me. And I'm going to grow up. I'm not going to be a baby. I'm going to know doctrine. I'm going to be able to differentiate, distinguish. How are you going to do it? Stammering lips and another tongue. And with it, I can tell you, there is a witness. It is called a refreshing. It's a refreshing kind of witness, and you can pray these mysteries for hours and hours and hours, and along with it, along as well as I'm teaching, I'm also building you up on your most holy faith. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this gives us a tremendous confidence. It gives us a tremendous confidence. We're living in a last day era. You know, as I was talking about the things about the politicians and those kinds of things, how can you step up and know truth when some man of God is stepping out there and he's saying something? You respect that guy and you say, my God, he's saying something about it. So maybe he's directing me in the right direction. So what's the truth here? What's the truth? Listen, if you want to know how Satan deceives, then you've got to understand this. He's a genius, but he learned his genius ways and tactics by watching and understanding the mind, the absolute mind of God. He could not and he cannot create in and of himself. So he had to learn something. So if you learn Isaiah 28 and you know the way the Holy Spirit teaches you, he teaches you like this. Do you understand this? Yes, sir, I do. Well, then if you understand this, then you'll understand that. Yes, sir, I do. Now, living in the last days, we've got to understand this. The soundness of doctrine which the Holy Spirit wants to place inside of you and bringing forth is line on line. And it's bearing, being bore witness by the Holy Spirit as you pray in other tongues. Now, like I said, by way of example, you got a preacher. Stands up and says, okay, this is right. That's right. Let's go back just for a moment. Let's go back to a place. Because everything here in this world, we think, okay, this is a mess now. And the reason why we're having a hard time distinguishing things is because it's a mess, and it's been a mess for 6,000 years. Because why? Because somebody failed, and Satan got the best of things. So that's why there's been spiritual death, physical death, and all those kinds of things. But let's just think just for a moment. Let's go to a place where none of this is at. It never was. Let's go to a place before our beginnings. Let's go to a place where multiple billions of angels lived. In fact, the New Testament says we've come to the company of the firstborn, church of the firstborn, and to a company of innumerable angels. Means you and I can't count them. Let's go to a place where there was no temptation. There was no evil thinking. Just an absolute presence of God in everything. How long did they exist before existence? The Bible doesn't tell us. But you got to understand this. The mastermind, he himself was created in righteousness and holiness. This is why you've got to understand the mystery. Go to the level of understanding this. Even if it's a foggy thing, you've got to understand this. Every creature, including angels, have a will. And if a will decides to do something, even if God's standing there, it can go past God. But here's the beauty. As long as you say this, I'll receive you, Father, and your strength to stand where I'm at, then you've got all the promises to create an atmosphere around you to keep your will bent into righteousness. Hallelujah. Who tempted him? Who began to deceive him? Not God. The Bible says, John said, don't say that God is initiator of darkness. Don't even think like that. God can't, you know. In Him there is no darkness. James said you couldn't tempt Him, nor would He tempt you. Do you think you'd tempt a man or a being called Lucifer? No. It's just a perfect place. Well, how did that thing start? It had to start inside of Him. That everything that he had been programmed to understand, he wasn't programmed like a computer. He was created with an innumerable amount of other angels. Sometimes people think that the fall of the angelics was something on the line of some Hitler standing over in some far place of heaven in an amphitheater, barking out on some kind of something, leading some kind of rebellion in heaven. My God, all of heaven would have stood him down and threw him out the first day. But nevertheless, you've got to understand, you are up. You cannot trust your senses. You cannot trust your mind. You're up against a mathematical engineer that so far, he took one third of this innumerable host and convinced them. If you think that he began on the first day to begin to say, I'm God and you need to look, they would have, all of the host of heaven, that third that went with him, they were just as beautifully created as the other two thirds that are there. They were sound in their doctrine, sound in their understanding. It had to begin on some kind of word of mouth kind of indoctrination. It had to begin on such a suggestive level that it could not even be ascertained by the angels that were receiving it. It only had to come on a suggestive level, like, I know that Jehovah said, so let's say it like this. I don't know what angels do, but let's say they had some kind of assignment, because I know they're not sitting around twiggling their fingers. Let's say, I know Jehovah's told you, you know, to do it like that, and that's perfect. I mean, the way He's told you is perfect. Keep doing it just like that. Keep doing it like... But let me tell you what I found out. If you did it this way, if you did it that way, it works like that too. Really? Yeah, it'll work like that, and it might save you just a little bit of time. Might save you a little bit of time doing it that way. But, of course, you know, Jehovah's... keep doing it His way, but... And the end result's still the same thing. The end result is still the same thing, so I don't think you'll displease Him by doing that. And who's going to argue with creative suggestions? Like you could do it this way and it'd still be the same result. Who's going to argue with that? How long did that insurrection last? This is speculation. This is not doctrine. I believe it had to have lasted eternities, like what we would account eternities. It had to have lasted probably. It was not an overnight insurrection. This deceiver first had to deceive himself. I think part of a deception was even happening while he was integrating his knowledge with the angels. And he began to see their reaction to it. And as he began to see their reaction to it, and as he saw that certain things would not be revolted against instantly, that began to dawn on him. And as he began to make creative suggestions, like, why don't you try it this way? I know Jehovah said it, but we're all just trying to honor Him, so let's just do it this way, and we're going to honor Him in it. And the bottom line is, the end result is, He gets honored and He's happy and everything. It must have taken hundreds, if not thousands, of years to take one-third of the minds of a creative being that just one of them killed 185 Assyrians in one night, and he wasn't even listed as a cherubim. There's a hierarchy of angels. Cherubims, as we understand it, are one of the highest levels of angels. And that is the class that Satan, we call him Satan now. He was Lucifer. It was a beautiful name then. His manipulation process, he began to deceive himself. And then he began to deceive others. So much so that it took hundreds, if not thousands, of years to take the reversal of Isaiah 28 and line on line, precept after precept, and not to go come against them, only to change them in their order, only to alter them, only to try to improve on them, only to try to improve or to say it can be done this way also. Here's the part that we get to rejoice in. Like Pastor Dave has been saying for 20 years, if you've been to conferences, we've been entrusted not to an angel. We've not been entrusted to a hierarchy of saints. We've been entrusted to one. When the Spirit of truth has come, with stammering lips and other tongues, He will guide you into all truth. And here's the way He does it, line on line, precept on precept, like it was when you were a child. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. Keep praying the mysteries. I know that a third of the angels fell to that massive deceiver, and you better respect him, reverently respect him, and you better not come against him by judging something with anything other than out of that place where you spend hours and hours and hours praying the mysteries, and then something inside of you says, all right, Holy Spirit, based on everything you taught me in first grade, everything you taught me from the beginning, I can see your wisdom in this. Line must be upon line. Precept must be upon precept. It must be here a little, there a little. And everything that you build from the beginning, Holy Spirit, you've entrusted me, Father, to the third member of the Godhead. Glory be to God. Why don't you just stand and lift your hands and just magnify Him? I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Pelemako restye to lematio. Vedemak leset ya. Jelemakruste fremenskedia set. Hochene, do not fear. For in these days you'll find more and more. Because I said these days would come. You can find, as the apostles asked me, what would be the end of times and the signs of your coming. But know this, that I have, as I said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But know this, that this is that has come. And I have entrusted you to the same one that all the patriarchs of old who made it in have carried the weight of the glory of your Father on them in this same way. So know this, that in Him, in me, that is truth, you'll find that all of the hedge and all of that which casts out all fear will be perfected in your heart, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Makes me want to pray in tongues. A whole great big bunch. Hallelujah. A great big bunch. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.